This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Friday the 22nd of August 2025 and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. We got lots to talk about this morning. Before we dive into it, little housekeeping. Let me remind you guys that the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition 2025, open to junior and high school students across the archipelago. To play, you need two pieces of information. The government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. The government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's will. And the recorded date of Loyalist Charles Farquharson's death. The answers to those two questions will win a student a prize. Cash and prizes donated by local and international sponsors, donors to the campaign. Call the show, let us know you want to play the game, competition, we transfer you to the producer, you give the producer your information. By end of day, we let you know if you're a winner or not. It's a fun competition, it encourages research and encourages young people to explore our past. Also, this third, the Abilities Unlimited Summer Fund Fest. It had previously been postponed due to weather. It is back on Abilities Unlimited Summer Fund Fest at the Dolphin Drive location tomorrow starting at 11 a.m. And normally it's a sports Friday. I had been waiting for Mr. Stanley Mitchell to join me in studio. He may still make it here. I put together some sports notes just quickly. We got to say congratulations to Eliza Denning and Joshua Higgins, Bahamian youth sailors. They competed at the Junior Pan Am Games in Paraguay. Eliza Denning came home with a gold medal in her category, and an historic performance by placing first overall and winning the gold medal. Mr. Higgins, he didn't do too badly himself. He placed 13th overall. And Ms. Denning, Eliza, is looking forward to the Pan American Games, where she qualified to compete in 2027. And she's on her way. She's attempting to qualify for the Olympic Games 2028. Bahamas Goodwill swimmers were three-peat. Won't they do it? Of course they'll do it. Of course they'll do it. Kaiwan Culmer and Anthony Strawn at the fifth North American, Central American, and Caribbean Track and Field Championships. That's in NACAC that took place in Grand Bahama over the weekend. There's an interesting article about a peaceful protest at the BLTA headquarters. That's the Bahamas Lawn Tennis Association. We get back into that in a minute. I have another guest who's joined me in studio, and we're going to talk a bit about something that was in the news yesterday. I want to talk about this story. I want to read this story into the record. I didn't get to it yesterday. And joining me in studio via Zoom is Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas. Equality Bahamas published a press statement yesterday, parts of which were covered in the Nassau Guardian. And in light of this headline, three charged with gang rape of teen, and I got to grab my Guardian for today. Here it is for today. But I got this story at hand as a follow-up to the story, three charged with gang rape of teen on page 7. On page 7 of today's Tribune, a fourth man accused in the gang rape, fourth man charged in gang rape of teen girl. And so the press statement that Equality Bahamas published yesterday, I thought was very important and could provide solutions, if not solution, direct solutions, strategies that we can employ to create better solutions to what I think is a sexual violence crisis, right? And so I want to take a little time this morning to talk about that. Good morning, Ms. Wallace.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
All right. Let me read a couple of these stories into the record, and then we're going to transition to the press statement. Yeah? Still there?
Yes, sounds good.
Okay, good stuff. Three charged with gang rape of yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Three people have been charged, and police are looking for three other suspects after a 14-year-old girl was allegedly gang raped last week. Charlton Curtis, 23, Henrico McPhee, 18, and a 15-year-old boy faced charges of forcible taking and having unlawful sexual intercourse when they made their initial court appearance before Senior Magistrate Algernon Allen Jr. on Wednesday. The charges stem from an incident at a home in the inner city of New Providence on August 14th. The accused were not required to enter pleas to the charges since they will stand trial in the Supreme Court. They were denied bail, and the matter was adjourned to November 11th for the presentation of a voluntary bill of indictment. And we're going to go now back into today's Tribune, today's article, fourth man charged in gang rape of teen girl. A fourth man accused in the gang rape of a 14-year-old girl faced court yesterday. Prosecutors allege that Karshawn DeVoe, 22, forcefully had sexual intercourse with the girl at a house she was visiting on August 13th. DeVoe was charged with unlawful sexual intercourse, Senior Magistrate Algernon Allen Jr. He was remanded to custody over the alleged incident in a bathroom on Kemp Road last week. His co-accused, Henrico McPhee, 18, Charlton Curtis, 23, and a 15-year-old boy were arraigned on Wednesday. The accused was not required to enter a plea. The case will proceed to the Supreme Court via a voluntary bill of indictment. He must apply for bail in the higher court. DeVoe will be remanded to the Bahamas Department of Correctional Services until service of his VBI on November 12th. It has previously been reported that police were seeking other suspects in the incident. Producer, could you grab me a Guardian, please? Thanking you. Sometimes your hands be filled with ganep. And you forget to pick up the most important things. Thank you. Ms. Wallace.
Yes.
I now want to turn to this article that was in yesterday's Guardian. Equality Bahamas calls for sex education in schools. Right? I guess it is a... it is an article about the press statement, but it's not the press statement itself. Am I correct?
That's correct.
All right. You want to tell us about the press statement, the thrust of it, why you released the press statement at this time, like yesterday, and the intended outcomes, what it was hoping to achieve?
Absolutely. So at Equality Bahamas, our primary area of work is ending gender-based violence, particularly against women, girls, and LGBTQI plus people. Mm-hmm. And we are attentive to the news. We are seeing the reports of various forms of violence, domestic violence, intimate partner violence, sexual violence. And in the past few weeks, as you've noted a number of times, there are quite a few reports of sexual violence and rape against girls. Mm-hmm. People who are underage. And we are also seeing reports of incest.
Yes, increasing.
People who are not just family members, but trusted people, people who are trusted to supervise children, mm-hmm. who are violating the trust of parents as well as children.
Yes.
And we know that children are being taken advantage of. And one of the ways that this is actually made easier is by the refusal to talk to children about their bodies and about sex, and ensuring by providing this education that they are very clear on the distinction between sex and rape and good touch and bad touch for younger children.
Okay. Good stuff. So how do you... What is the model that you're putting forward to the government to best achieve this education?
We've been talking for a while about comprehensive sexuality education, and people get very upset, very nervous when we talk about sex ed. For some reason, they are imagining that we're talking to, you know, eight-year-olds and encouraging them mm-hmm. in particular activities, and that's not what it is. It's really about providing age-appropriate information and tools to children of all ages so that they are able to better navigate situations, be able to see red flags, and know when they need to go and talk to an adult who they can trust, whether that's a parent, another family member, or a teacher, somebody that they have more access to throughout the day. Mm-hmm. Maybe when they're outside of a situation, it might be safer to talk to someone at school. And if you are hearing information, if you're getting messaging from teachers at school, it kind of lets you know that this is somebody that I can talk to if something happens at home or at a home that I have to be in, right, for my own care. So we're talking about ensuring that small children, you know, even when parents are giving them baths, we know that there are some very conscious parents who are saying to children, and, you know, mom, dad, we're doing this, we're giving you a bath, no one else should be touching you in this area. Yeah. Right. These are places where no one should be looking, no one should be touching. Somebody might touch you in a certain way and it makes you feel uncomfortable. It's okay to say that you feel uncomfortable. These are the things that we need to be teaching. And a lot of people feel that this should happen at home. This education should only be provided by parents. But mm-hmm. we know that there are parents and there are guardians that are not equipped to have these conversations. They're not yeah. equipped for various different reasons. Maybe they never had these conversations. Maybe they don't know themselves some of these distinctions. We hear adults all the time calling in to radio shows talking about gray areas, right, and gray area sex, which we know isn't a thing. Mm-hmm. But it really shows that there is a lack of understanding, there's a lack of education among adults. And to leave this to parents is actually quite dangerous because, like I said, some parents actually don't have this information. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, parents, guardians, and other quote-unquote trusted people are the perpetrators or are facilitating perpetrators. So this education has to be provided somewhere else. We have to be very serious and very strategic about the ways that we educate children and equip them with the tools so that they can recognize unsafe situations and unsafe people, and so that they know that it is safe to report and who to go to.
Absolutely. Two things came up for me just now. Helping kids identify the wrong person to go to for help, but also the need for repetitive reinforcement, right? Like for reinforcement. It's one class is not sufficient. One class a week, but actually only one class on a particular subject is not sufficient for all age groups, right? Like there needs to be a constant reinforcement. And so for parents in particular, like I just saw a video, you know, Keith Lee, the influencer, the food reviewer that became a big influencer, he's filming a daily motivational with his daughter, right? And you see, it's in the influencer space, but you see parents sort of modeling, right, a behavior that they're trying to turn into a culture, which is parents every day reinforcing these foundational messages into their kids before they leave school. Your body is your body. Nobody gets to touch your body. These are your private parts. Nobody, right? And so I think it's important for parents to understand how schools can assist or facilitate this learning by also reinforcing it.
Absolutely, and integrating it into other classes. It's not always that this is a standalone class. You know, right now for this 30 minutes, we're talking about sex. That's not what it is. It's integrated into health. It's integrated into, it could be integrated into religious studies classes. You know, we're talking to them about their bodies, about their ownership of their bodies. And we have the responsibility to prevent violations against children and giving them the tools to resist and to get help from people who can intervene. And this can only happen if they know what is happening to them and that maybe offers being made to them are wrong. They can only know that if we give them the information, and that includes trusting their own instincts. There's a way that children are often trained out of trusting their instincts, right? And, veering towards being polite and deferring to adults. And we're confusing autonomy with rudeness and disrespect. So there's a way that we also have to undo that. And a lot of that has to happen at home. Yeah. But there is also a place for some of this education, a lot of this education, to take place within the school system.
All right. So for people who saw the article but only saw excerpts of the press statement, where can we find the statement in its entirety?
The statement itself will be available in full on our Facebook page by the end of the day today, and it will also be on our Instagram. We usually do little slides to make it easier to read in smaller chunks, and it's at Equality242 in both places.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so Mr. Mitchell has joined me in studio, Ms. Wallace, which is okay because this is an ongoing conversation up again in the upcoming weeks. I've been doing a small, like, informal segment on the show where I kind of round up all of the headlines about cases, sexual violence, sexual abuse. And I did one very early in the month of August, but the stories just keep piling up, including this one, 8-year jail sentence for man who attempted to sexually assault a child, Nassau Tribune, 21st of August. So I'd like to invite you back so that when I read through the stories, possibly you can identify resources that people are experiencing the same thing, or if they are observers, right? And they want to figure out, well, how can I help? I'm not a family member. I don't have proximity to the situation, but I can see it. How can I help? Where can I turn? What resources are available in the country right now? And then as we end, I just want to read another headline that I thought was interesting and wanted to ask if this prompted the press statement. Here's the headline: Davis government overhauling national curriculum to modernize education. PM Davis said the government is overhauling the national curriculum of wider efforts to modernize education in the Bahamas, though he did not provide details on the changes. Are you advocating for a new program or the expansion of an existing program in the national curriculum?
Yes, and some people have pointed out in the comments that there is sex ed to an extent, right, that is in some schools, in public schools. What we're calling for it to be mandatory in all schools and reminding the public that private schools are included. Private schools also need to be providing comprehensive sexuality education and at all grade levels. These are the two main points of our statement, mm-hmm. all schools, mandatory, and all grade levels. And so if this is a time now that curriculum is being overhauled, it's a great time to integrate it. There are great curricula out there to focus on this that we can adjust mm-hmm. to fit our context. Every context is different, and we want it to be culturally relevant for Bahamian students and students in Bahamian schools.
Absolutely. I want to say thank you very much, Ms. Wallace. I wish we had more time. However, Mr. Stanley Mitchell is in studio, and we have to resume our parking game. I haven't seen him in months in the studio, and there's lots happening in the sporting world. I want to shine some light on what these young people are doing locally and abroad. But I'll have you back on soon. Because we have all kinds of things to talk about, man. I also want to talk about resources for parents who are navigating the world of new technology with young people and teenagers, right? From the perspective of gender and women and human rights advocates.
I'm ready when you are.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. It's Alicia Wallace from Equality Bahamas. And now we transition to a bit of sports. Good morning, Mr. Mitchell. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I wish I was here for the start of that conversation. I could mess that right up. You don't have to do none of all of that, what they're talking about. They're just pushing. If I put up a sign, what's your name? I forget. Philip Glassroom is the Prime Minister of Bahamas. I could leave that there, and every child would know that for the rest of their life. It's no education. There's no... let's go into that. Let's go into sports, because I have other problems in sports.
I think transition right now. I think that we sort of, although we get teachers, everybody, we're looking at school. We've been in school, right? Like all of us have experienced school, but sometimes we don't see the entirety of that environment and ecosystem.
Okay, I come from the old school, so... I don't want no one talking to my children. I'm going to talk to them, even if I have to come to you to get the education, to talk to them or touch them or tell them what to do. So I need no big body building up around here. Just tell me I could come to you and you'll tell me.
But we got to put that in policy, right? And we have to equip the schools or the
we don't have
educators.
To. Only for those who need help. I learned that if you get the claps, get a stick with penicillin. And if you get this, you burn it out with that. The fellas teach you on the blocks.
But the problem
90%
is...
90% of the time, they're wrong.
Yeah, some of these fellas ain't making much sense. And I'm not dissing them. It's the experience, how they've processed it, and their capacity to understand their experiences and how to enable others to learn from their experiences, right? Like you said, in some instances, it's not a teaching in the sense, and that's why I was talking about the environment. I learned so much at Queen's College, right? A lot of it was not in the actual sitting and listening to the class, right? And so when you said, as a parent, identify the experts and verify the information, and then facilitate me being able to be the primary educator for my child, right? And that I think that is a great option because there are parents who obviously have the capacity, and here's what I mean. From you say, look here, I need to do this, and I need you to help me, that suggests to me that you have the capacity to take on the task.
Right.
Unfortunately, we got some...
No, don't do that to me. You did it to me with that other thing. With rape and marriage. Give me 20 people who have the problem, mm-hmm. and then we have a problem. But don't have one or two.
No, man, we got with this one, we got 20. Here's another question I have for you. This idea, I believe that at this...
We used to do this at the dining room table, folks, so don't get upset. But we can get to spot.
We talk about adopting kids, right? And taking them out of environments and putting them in better environments. I am of the belief that kids need to be with their parents. they want to be with their parents, right?
And we've seen them leave 20 years and still try to find that drunken parent and want to be with that parent.
There's this great desire.
Yes.
And so...
Inborn.
I don't think it's, especially in this jurisdiction, the Bahamas, that taking children out of that home is the best solution. But sometimes you need to adopt the whole family.
Yes.
The whole family needs to be adopted. But in there, see, because in there is a respect, an acknowledgement that you, the parent, are always best suited, for your child's development. They want to be like you. They are you, right? Sense, and they could see the things that are not going in the right direction and see the things that are going in the right direction, and they still want to be you, right? And so how do we create models, right, that will be effective both for, like, culturally, that takes into account how we live, right, and how we want to live? I tell you, from I started LGBTI advocacy, the first thing I told my members is, listen, you got to understand, gay Bahamians want to be a part of the church. They are Christians. They want to heal. They want to be, what's the word? You know, they want to be perfect in God's eyes. They don't want to be separated from the church, and they don't want an advocacy that requires them to separate themselves from the church to be whole, right? And so in the same way, we need advocacy that doesn't require any more separation of parents. Like, we have to bring them together, because ultimately the best path of development for a young person is under the wings of their healthy parents. Yeah?
Amen.
I see somebody on the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning,
Mitchell.
How you doing?
Thank God for life issues. Can you hear me clear?
I can hear you now.
Okay, what about, I know you get into the sport. That's a Bahamian. They say joining up like jazz with the Marlins. How jazz is to be with the Miami Marlins. That's a Bahamian player supposed to go there.
Hold on, did you say another Bahamian baseball player going?
Sure, I thought I hear that. I hear that, like, they would talk, like, specifying it, and I think I didn't catch the whole thing, and I wonder if I missed the name, if that's...
We know we got a number of players in the developmental league, and we've had players in the developmental league for years, right? And so it's not unreasonable that it's time for one of them to pop up into the majors.
But I say, if I didn't dream that or didn't thought I hear it, you would have been able to tell me. If you ain't able to tell me, or Mr. Mitchell ain't able
to tell me. No, I ain't going to be able to tell you, because y'all is listening to too much foreign stuff in here. Listen to your local sports casters, and you'll know.
Yeah, it must didn't happen then.
No.
It must didn't happen with them. But also, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, man. I can hear you.
Okay. The Marlins, no, you say you're in. I had a third one, but I didn't want to ask it next, but I can't remember it, but maybe Uncle could close his ears, right? What is the fan suggesting by throwing the sex toys, the WNBA, on the court?
They would. They're just rude.
You think they need a hug, like you were saying? Or
yes.
Or do you want to offer them a cookie?
I can show you why.
I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah. That those are people that need hugs. That's completely and totally inappropriate. That's so wild. I mean, that's so ridiculous. I don't want to use the word shame, but they should be shame. They should be shame. There's no space for that. Right? Even if there's a issue of sexual violence in the league, you gonna trivialize it by throwing sex toys on the court as a part of your protest in an arena that's supposed to be family friendly? Fight our own face. Let's go to this next caller quickly, and then I gotta find out what Mr. Mitchell talking about, because I tell him I'm going to be the world oceanic floating champion. He tell me, Missy, you size Andrus, but Andrus don't float, it's connected to land. Let's go to the caller producer. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I'm sorry, I lost you, producer. Let's take the call. Let's see if that's them calling back. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Mr. Lennigan. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, the people in the church, hell hot. That's all I got to say. Hell is hot. And secondly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure your parents can teach you how to spoil your ballot?
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. But see, remember I was telling you?
And I 100% sure QC teaching for your wallet.
Okay, so I want to thank you very much before you cause me get in trouble. Remember when I was saying that I learned, I learned at QC, a lot of what I learned wasn't in that moment with my pen on the paper, right? It's about observation. It's about the ability to understand what information is actually relevant to you may not be right now, but no, that's your future they're talking about, right? And so, though, Mrs. Lila Green didn't teach me that. She's a good civil servant. She's a good Bahamian. And so is Mr. Mitchell and Ona Bailey. I get in row right now because I wouldn't swear my allegiance to the PLP, but that's okay. That's okay, right? But no, don't put that on them. Put that on me. That's me and my bad head. All right, Mr. Mitchell.
Hey, morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Now, I thought you was coming here. Are you coming here to talk about the BLTA protest?
No.
Okay. I thought that was interesting.
The beat goes on. You could teach me about that. I will understand it one day.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a problem with protocol in sports.
Okay.
And you were just sidelining it a little while ago. I don't know where to start. I'll start with, I went to the NACAC meet in Freeport over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And three things happened. First of all, we're in Grand Bahama and we're in Freeport.
Mm-hmm.
And the organizers of that meet, when they made their speeches and their protocol talks, they decided to honor a person who has been in the track and field area and has done well, but he wasn't from Grand Bahama. He lives there now,
mm-hmm.
but he's from an adjacent island. And that island has some homegrown, born people who, in my opinion, were just sidelined, and I would have walked out if I was one of them,
mm-hmm.
and hear them honoring a man from a distant island. And I said, but they gotta know better than this is mine. And then lo and behold, the man walks in where I'm sitting away from all of this, and we have the funniest jokes talking about how they doing this. And he's telling people right around, I'm from here.
Yeah.
He's still driftwood. But they do that. But then the most egregious thing happened when they gave certain people accreditation to get into what we call a VIP area.
Mm-hmm.
And as they normally do, it changes every day you come to something, another hoop you have to jump through to get back into the same area you
had previously been allowed into.
And they did this to who I considered to be in track and field the most accomplished Bahamian, Pauline Davis Thompson. And
hold on, you're saying that there was a VIP section at the NACAC event on the weekend, and Pauline Davis was not allowed in the section?
The first day we were all allowed. The second day they wanted you to have this on, and then she didn't have that on. But the people who were, not you, you know.
No, I think they never put me there.
But they put people who don't know anything about track and field, volunteers and this, and they say, you can't come in here.
I can tell you what the problem is right now, right? Like, you're putting on a play, but you don't know how to put on a play. If you got
that's what you're saying?
Because that's what I mean. If you
I
got,
know what you mean.
If you got a VIP section, right, and I'm going to expect that you have some foreign dignitaries in that section.
Mm.
You, first of all, you want the most accomplished athletes to be there. But you want people with sports history so that the foreign guests could be engaged with a discourse, a dialogue, conversation, mother's wit, anecdotes about local sports actors, people with spatial awareness and history that could place...
Stop, they tell me you're smart, but you're smarter than I thought.
Right, like, it's a curation, and so when you're telling us that, okay, we're going to need to spend this money to make it look good and nice to attract more money, but you're only spending it to make it look good, but you're missing the how to attract, how to build momentum, how to gain energy, and how to make people think they look in something that's, at something that's bigger than it actually is. And that is the beauty of being a Bahamian. That's the magic of the Chikchani, the chameleon, right?
Well, I could just sit back and listen all day.
But we lost the only focused on optics, right? And missing the tiny details. I said yesterday, you take care of the pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves. You want us to celebrate these grand ideas, but you refuse to acknowledge the failings, and that the failings happened in the smallest of places.
Right.
With the biggest impact. Sorry about that. Go on.
And the people who give you that impact, you want to put on the side, maybe to make yourself look, I don't know.
Man.
And then to add insult to injury, they announce all these people who are in the audience. Mm-hmm. And they don't announce her. Three men ran up, three men talked, three men act as if she didn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
This woman is higher than all of them. She is a lifetime member of the IAAF, now World Athletics, which no one in the country other than her
has achieved.
Yeah. And in her sporting, I mean, there are only one or two who can come close to her in what she has achieved. I feel so bad and for her and for this young lady who just keep telling her, you can't come in here. You know what? She's the past member of the board that runs the whole World Athletic, including that event.
Yeah.
A lifetime member.
And so I think
I almost want to put it to, I can't pronounce the word, misogyny. You can't just dismiss her like that.
Is it because she's a woman?
I don't know.
Is it because she's a dark? Let's talk about it.
Yes.
Because she's a blackie? What the woman say?
Yes.
She's a blackie?
Yes.
Is it because she doesn't speak? Like you can't polish her up like you could polish Erin up and make her speak the Queen's English so politely and perfect. Is that what it is?
Well, it's all of that.
And then you don't realize that in that one moment you have destroyed the country's entire sports in paradise platform, the entire sporting platform, because you've diminished your own credit, right?
We're having
another conversation about accreditation in the University of the Bahamas, right? And I think that what some of us are suffering from is not just ontological Americanness, where you are so consumed by American systems and culture and language and music that you forget that you're not American, but also by this false American exceptionalism, right? And that so that not only you believe that you're American, but the best of you is what you got from America, right? And we're having this conversation about Ian Strawn and I guess the capacity, whether he is expert enough about the National Institute, which is the irony, right? Because it's about Bahamianizing it and what a National Institute is. I have this joke, Mr. Mitchell, and I'm scared to tell it in front of you, but I can tell it. I tell young people, I've dropped out of COB four times, and if they have me back, I'll drop out again.
Why?
At the time...
Do we have time?
I don't know if I want to say it because people will misperceive it as an attack on individuals and not on a system in the same way that they're perceiving this critique of academia and the process as an attack on them and their opinion as opposed to a national discourse which should be able to take place because a national university is for national discourse and growth. Right? And so... Here we are, we don't believe in ourselves, we don't believe that young lady, Pauline, is sufficient to represent the Bahamas, or should be, like in our hearts, we don't want a darkie in it. We want a light skin, a nice curly haired, light skin person doing it, right? And so, but unfortunately.
Folks, I didn't call her beforehand and tell her anything. This coming out of her mouth.
Right? Unfortunately, we are destroying resources, our most valuable resources, before they could realize themselves.
I would stand there as people come in and say, I'd like you to meet. Two-time gold medalist at the Olympics, right, at the Worlds. This is Pauline Davis.
And you got booklets and pamphlets that you put in your volunteers' hands. And learn this because you were part of this play. And it depends on you curating the space. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller. You still there, caller?
Hey, Ms. Green, still talking about the sport?
We talking sports. We talking...
I was wondering if maybe Uncle might want to say something to this. Why were the folks them who suggested or made possible for the Washington Redskins to change the name to the Commandos and stuff? Now, I hear President Trump saying he ain't joking, he dead serious, he want them names to go back to, like, the Washington.
Yeah.
You know, I ain't gonna talk about that. I'm a Bahamian. Let's talk Bahamian, man. I don't care what Trump did.
Proper.
Yeah.
All right, proper.
I don't want to hear nothing about Trump and America and what they did and what the dream is our own team being playing against anyone in the world. If we choose to play against America, Italy, and in the World Cups and they, I don't hear what them people do and don't do.
Let me respond.
I live far away from them.
You ever sail through the caller? And it's not a prompt to call back because we almost out of time. You ever sail through the Gulf of Mexico? You ever sail through the Gulf of America? You ever sail through the Gulf of America?
Trump just changed the name.
Yeah, he changed the name. And one day soon, he could change our name and call us the Northern Negroes, right? Trump don't care. And I think that the answer is in the question. Yeah. Who makes a decision after a whole state, all these billions of dollars come together and say, yeah, you know what? Redskins is insensitive. Let's change our name to something else, right? Because the Redskins technically are the indigenous people of these places. This place belongs to them, and we're occupiers, right? And so if Trump comes and says, oh, I think that you should change it back to the Redskins, the part of the conversation that involves us is, you think he can turn us into the Northern Negroes?
Yeah, he can change the Negro League. So when you mention the people who the blacks who couldn't play with the whites way back then, let's change that name from.
Yeah, we don't.
The Colored League or something like that. The people of color. Anyhow, I don't want to hear about them. Getting back.
Absolutely. Another example of where we don't understand how to curate sports excellence, right? That's why I love that conversation we had about Keith Parker, right? And the need to identify more Keith Parkers among us. The minister, the sailors.
Right.
Joshua and Eliza came back from the event.
Yes.
Right? They had a drunken rush out at the airport.
Yes.
I didn't see. I read the paper, man. I may not be the best, but I read it. I didn't see a grand announcement demanding, because if I was the minister, I'd demand I carry on like your Grammy. Be at the airport, because if you don't and I see you at the club, I can pull you out by your ear, right? Every one of us should have been asked to be at the airport. And we all can't come, because sailing is our national sport. It's not important for the minister to be there. Any representative from the government could have been there and stood in that office for that purpose. It's important for us to be there and realize the moment, because that was the moment right there that you all missed. We just changed the sport, the national sport, to sailing. This young lady gone and lose to race out of the first tree and then bust a hole in everything else. She sails straight to Miami from Nassau. And all of us should have been there. Because that's how you grow a national sports platform. Anyway, that's the music. We go into a break. When we get back from the break, I'm going to read some of these texts, not all, because some of y'all, I don't like y'all texts this morning. We'll read some of these texts. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. On the clock.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Boy, I read the last time we took a trip down in Nagua, but this time we're going to San Salvador.
Say what? You talking about my own time?
Uh-huh.
Over the UE, over the hill, down in the field. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yeah! But I'm dibby this ring that screams time. Watch it! Hey! Watch it, G. Watch it!
Will we continue?
Good morning. I don't know why you turned the song down right there. That's a, but I know why, because he knew I was going to get excited. That Ray can scream. Okay, let's go to the text line. Yes, texter, I will remind the powers that be that NHIA has yet to pay its providers the outstanding funds for July, 60% outstanding. Okay, NHIA, PAH, y'all please. Pay the providers. Oh, it's the provider. You mean like the doctor that I go to on NHI? Y'all ain't paying them? I need y'all to pay them. I'm going to need y'all to pay them, please. Also, I'm going to need y'all to make a statement, like to clarify in big billboards and public notice. Like, what should an NHI patient expect when they go to the hospital? Because I went to the hospital and I went to one office and they put a price on my piece of paper. And then when I went to the cashier to pay, the cashier just quoted a double the price. No policy, no protocol, no piece of paper, no nothing. I say 80, the paper said 80, and they just look at me and say, that's 160. And you know, I looked at them and told them, no, thank you. You should explain to me why, although the paper says 80, I'm now required to pay 160. They felt that they didn't need to. That was not their obligation to tell me that. Anyway, thank God I don't even want to say survive because y'all would think that I dissing people. Thank God I had a successful procedure. Let's say thank God. Okay, next text. I am so mad hearing this story about Pauline being disrespected, but as hard as Mr. Mitchell mouth is on radio, despite this was a formal event, if it was me, I would have speak out loud and forced them to acknowledge Pauline. I've seen it done so many done to many, many black tie, big time events, but the young lady should be dealt with for her poor and messed up attitude. Now watch this.
You want me?
I can let you go. Let's take it away from the young lady and let's focus. Well, there's a space for her, but training. We don't, we have this thing, y'all take this thing like a civil service policy. What's understood does not need to be explained. How you know they understand it if they don't explain it to you?
Yes.
How? What an abdication of responsibility that is. How your children gonna understand life if you don't explain it to them? But the people believe that, you know. They say children cry, but yet they come. What are you supposed to do about it?
But I always just, when I have a person who has gone to the top, and because of any circumstance, later on in life, they turn to the bottle, they turn to drugs, or they do something that's not. And then we bring everything that they have achieved into that circle when they're separate.
And entirely,
I honor you for what you did, and at the time you did it. I don't know what happened to you after. And then I blame me for what happened to you.
Because it's me.
Because it happened to you, I should have helped you.
And in many instances.
Not put you aside. Like, I take Steve Hanna as a brother, and every time I saw him, you know, we would have a discourse.
The martial artist?
No, Steve Hanna, the triple jumper.
Okay, yeah.
To the top in the world. And people like the Elijah Obed, they want to punish him psychologically, because I don't know why they never honored him in my life. But they don't do anything, you know, about him or for him. And they just throw him aside as another darky who don't deserve anything.
Conversation about, like, the university. What is it in ourselves that we don't like?
Boy, we don't like us.
Right.
I tell you that.
We want to be anything but Bahamian. And we want to go and live in countries where your daily life acknowledges that the quality of life you have is because of the people who worked before you. You want to go and go live there and then decry that the Bahamas is nothing. It is not worth your time or your energy, when in fact you did nothing to build it for future generations. And you refuse to acknowledge the real contributions of those that came before you. They may not be grand, you know, like a 60 Minutes expose, right?
I'll tell you a joke about that. Boston Blackie, right? One of our most famous and hilarious sportsmen. Anywhere people went in the 60s and 70s and 80s and they said they were from the Bahamas, the first thing anyone from any other country hearing that would say, you know Boston Blackie? He was our spokesman. He let us, you know, through those eyes. We love him.
Yeah.
We hope you love him too. But anyhow.
Same thing with King Harrison. Listen, King Harrison played with the Neil Diamond touring band for 40 years. And you telling me we don't have a Neil Diamond cruise that comes here every year and stops for 2 days because you just have an all-day Neil Diamond everything? We don't have a Motown. Barry Gordy them say this boy is the unsung hero of Motown.
Joseph Spence is known better in Germany than here.
Mr. Newry, the young lady pretended to have a relationship with my flatmate so she could meet me because I'm from the Bahamas, and she doing her dissertation on Joseph Spence. She pretended, and she did a very good job. She pretended to love this boy, right? Like,
she did a good job pretending to love him or on Joseph Spence.
I think she did a good job on Joseph Spence as well, right? But there's something here that is preventing us from loving ourselves.
You think it's 400 years of slavery or 300 years of colonialism? And
it's all, but more important, it is that we allowed ourselves to be convinced that the 400 years of slavery and the 300 years of colonialism are separate things. Like, because for us to acknowledge that we're still going through it, then it requires us to do a whole bunch of things. Producer, I don't know if you have that song, Damian Marley, Confrontation. Can you tell you can't wear Jerry Curl in war?
Yeah.
You can't wear skirt and blouse in war.
You can't bleach up in war.
Right, that we must acknowledge the conditions that we are actually in, and so that we can acknowledge to ourselves, to the past, to the present, to the future. Unfortunately, I don't want people to take this conversation as denigrating individuals. I recognize that at the heart of it,
most of us are in psychological crisis. And for many of us, we never had a childhood that we think we should have. But the way that we live or move through that experience is by acknowledging you'll never have a childhood again, but you can create better childhoods for those coming up after you. And that is the most powerful gift. And that's the thrust of the BLTA protests as well, you know. They say if this is a developmental space, why we ain't developmentaling young children?
Yeah.
Anyway, Mr. Mitchell, it looks like I gotta have you back next Friday.
I could be here.
And for all of Corinne Mitchell Churins, see you on Sunday.
All of PLPs?
You know, that's what they say. Okay.
Okay.
I could be there too. See you all on Sunday.
All right.
Have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with CA Newey is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.